All right, I invite you to take your seats again. As you know, we have a guest speaker today. It's Jim Kearns right here in front. Jim has been the pastor at Princeton Community Church, Troubridge Church in Princeton, Minnesota. Jim and his wife, Rose, have been married for 35 years. They have four children and one informally adopted child. They are proud grandparents of 10 children, now 11. Oh, I'm going to have to tell Mark he was off. Jim and Rose raised their family in Malacca and were members of Princeton Community Church for many years before moving to Elk River. Jim has worked in all areas of construction, but primarily as a painter. His hobbies include hunting, fishing, and teasing his grandchildren. Jim's heart has always been serving Christ, and he has been involved in some type of ministry since coming to the Lord in 1975. Mark and Connie did two mission trips together with their family, and Jim and Rose and their family. Let's welcome Jim Kearns.
It is good to be here. I bring you greetings from the church in Princeton. Our church is rebuilding, like Nick had said. My wife and family and I attended that church for a number of years. About 12 years, up until about 15 or 18 years ago when we moved to Elk River. And then when my former pastor died there in Princeton, God moved me back to rebuild that relationship, and thus one thing led to another, and now I am the pastor there. At that time, years ago, I was a youth pastor at this particular church. That's how Mark and I got hooked up. Mark was a youth pastor at a Baptist church back then. Not saying anything bad about Baptist there, but, you know, it was good to get to know Mark, and we did a lot of different things together. Like Nick had said, we did a couple of missionary trips together, and Mark and I did a lot of, if you want to use the word, crusades for the Lord together over the years with a lot of different outreaches. So that's how Mark and I got in contact together. Mark is a good brother. I stand with him in a lot of different ways. I would just like to pray real quick, if I can. Father God, I just ask for your Holy Spirit to come here. Anoint my mouth, my thoughts. Bless the congregation here, Lord. Bless Mark and his family as they're finishing the ride today with MS-150. Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. In that last song, they're talking about being redeemed. That things like that really, really, really touched my heart. When I was growing up, I grew up down in Minneapolis in the cities. When my family first moved to Minneapolis area, we lived in the near north side, right in the late 60s, during the time of the riots and things like that against the blacks and the whites. We lived there for about 5 years. I learned all kinds of things there. And how to survive in the ghetto, let me put it that way. And then we moved to South Minneapolis after that. As I got into puberty and there afterwards and young adolescent and things like that, and even into adolescent, got in a lot of different trouble, okay? And I know that when I came to the Lord, if I hadn't come to the Lord, I know that I would be either in prison now or dead, okay? So songs like that really bless my heart because I have been redeemed by God and by Jesus. That's what it is all about in my hand. And my wife over there, she's been one of the biggest blessings in my life of keeping me on that straight and narrow too. But God made me, gave me some revelations and some discoveries about what life is all about, and I wasn't on that plan and that path at all. So I thank God for being redeemed. And for those of you who don't know, here's Jim Kearns' rendition of being redeemed. If any of you remember the old S&H green stamps or things like that, or even coupons and stuff like that, they are given out, and you bring them back, and you redeem them for a cost, is what the pledge is there. But it's actually that company or that person is buying back something that they already own. If you get what I'm saying. God already owned me. I didn't know it, but he bought me back anyway with Christ. All right, I'm going to move right along here. There was a pastor at a church. When he got finished with his preaching one day and it was time for prayer, he says, is anyone out there in need of prayer? Today is now's the time for prayer. Come on forward. I'd love to pray for you, is what he said. So this middle-aged man named Bob, he comes forward, and Bob says, the pastor says, what can I pray for you today? And Bob says, well, I'd like prayer for my hearing. So the preacher, doing what he does best, he lays hands on his ears like this, starts praying for him. Then he kind of moves from one side, puts his finger in his ear, and lays his hand on top of his head, and just continues to pray, and then he switches out and does this thing like this. And he goes, well, Bob, how's your hearing now? Bob says, I don't know. It's not till Wednesday of this week. Completely missed the boat on that one, didn't he? Okay. All right, I'm just trying to throw in some jokes and humor sometimes. And if, you know, I'm deliberately trying to wave my hands because they said, you know, if you're a preacher, you got to move around a little bit and throw some jokes in there, stuff like that. And so I'm going to try and do that because I'm normally not that kind of guy. You know, just like in football, you get the screamers and you get the yellers and stuff like that when you get the coaches, and then you get those that are just like Tony Dungy in a way. He's quiet, methodical, got a purpose and a plan, and he doesn't yell and he doesn't scream, but he gets the job done and goes to the Super Bowl a couple of times. I'm like that kind of guy, Tony Dungy. So I'm not, I don't normally get up here and wave around and scream and all that kind of stuff, okay? But if I get excited, you might get looking out, you know? Okay. Have you ever heard the term, God loves us? God loves you, and he's got a wonderful plan for your life. I heard that back when I was 16, 17, too, and that's what brought me to the Lord. It's about salvation and God's plan, ultimately, of coming to him. And it's a great plan. I'm not knocking that at all. I endorse that philosophy today. In Jeremiah 29:11, there is a scripture there that says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. A little bit of history on that. It was prophesied that when the Babylonians came in and conquered Israel at the time, they were going to be in captivity for 70 years. And Jeremiah was one of the prophets that was captured at the time. He's the one that wrote that. And God gave this vision and revelation to them as a reminder, this is not always going to be the way that it is. I don't remember the extent of the years that were left over when he took this and gave this prophecy, but it was still about 35 years left to go. They're only in the halfway mark. But that's what God said to them as a reminder, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, I've discovered one thing that is easy to agree with. If I figured out what God's plan is for me, and if I knew what the whole extent is, they didn't know what was going on here, and they didn't have take into account what that prophecy was, that they'd be in captivity for 70 years. But I know that if I've discovered God's plan and I like it, then everything is cool. And that's easy for me to understand and agree with. But what if I don't know what God's plan is for me personally? And things are going sour in my life, you know. I'm trying to find out what's going on. Things haven't turned out exactly as I've expected. These are some of the things that I've wrestled with lately because of some things in our life, personally. So that's why I'm looking to share this. So what about when God's plan doesn't line up with what we think? And some of us were talking about this earlier this morning. Suddenly things get snatched away. What you thought was going down a right path, things are not going exactly as you've planned, you know. You're starting to think, yeah, right, God's got a plan for me. Not to harm me, not to, you know, it's going to prosper me, all this kind of stuff. Where are these plans that I'm looking for? What's the deal with all this, you know? Because when those landmarks are suddenly removed and friends, close friends, even associates desert you, you know, job is suddenly gone sometimes, you know, your health disappears, things like that. You start wondering, God, where am I? What's going on? What is your plan here? Death starts maybe knocking on the door. We had a situation like that recently with my wife's brother-in-law. Healthy one minute, gets a lung infection. 2 weeks later, he's in the hospital in a coma. You know, that's quick, and he's only 50 years old. You know, so I start thinking, you know, my struggles are, God, you've got to be kidding here. I'm just being honest with you. You know, sometimes I wrestle with God just like that. What is this plan that you're talking about? Because I am missing it. I start begging God, you know, to show me, where is this plan? Show me what to do. Where is it? I got to find it. What's happening here, Lord? So how do I keep my hopes alive? How do you keep your hopes alive when these things are going to happen? And they do happen, you know? And I've come to learn that God has not forsaken me. He hasn't forsaken you. He's going to keep us on track one way or the other. So if it seems like you're kind of alone and God has removed his blessings from you, I'm here to remind you with that encouraging word, just like Jeremiah did. There's a future here. He has not abandoned us at all. In those times when I don't have a clue what to do next, God does. So my head is hanging low. My heart is broken. God knows how much I hurt. He knows how much you hurt and how much we're trying to just figure this whole thing out. You know. What I'm going to be sharing today is for us as individuals. I don't want to get onto the track of being a corporate kind of things like that, because I think plans, the gun that God has for us, works first individually, and then he multiplies it from there out, whether our workplace or wherever it goes from there. But that's what it's about, us individually, okay? And that's where I'm going to be hitting on today. So I do also want you to put your filters on if you want to, because sometimes being a preacher up here, my flesh gets in the way and I say things that are up from my flesh. Put those filters on and, you know, weed through those things, just like water, taking out those granules that you don't want. I pray that God uses the words that I'm going to say to be his words. Keep my flesh out of it. But if that does come through, filter those things out, okay? I know this. God knows our tomorrows before we even know what they are, before they become today's. He knows what they are. In the beginning of our life, he knows what they are. What is there? He sees the end. He sees everything in between. There's two things that I have discovered, and going back to that scripture of Jeremiah 29:11, God's plans are always good. They're not going to harm me at all. His plans are always designed to bring good into my life, even if I don't see what they are. His plans are better than mine, okay? I just know that for a fact. But we as humans, if you want to be honest about it, we like to make our plans. Life happens to you, and while you're busy making your own plans, you know, life, let me see, get that quote correct. Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. John Lennon, the great Beatle, he even put it in one of his songs and recorded it. Didn't make the top 10 chart, but he took that quote and put it in one of his songs. You know, when I think back of, you know, making plans, going different ways, I've just got one thing to say. In my old age of 57 years, of all the things that I've gained and lost in this world, I miss my mind the most. Okay? Anyway, sometimes for about plans, sometimes we think, you know, I can make and plan my life better than what God can. We want things to go our own way, so to speak. It's hard for us to give up completely and go along with God's plans. It's not easy. Sometimes we think, God is going to mess up my life. I'm not going to be able to have any fun anymore. Can't ride a four-wheeler. Can't fall in love. Can't have kids. Can't have a great job. Can't make money. I just can't have any fun anymore. God does not say that at all. He says, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. But he also wants us to seek him along the way. The devil is one that puts those thoughts in our minds. You know, he's the great deceiver. He's the one that puts those there. I can't have any fun anymore. God's going to mess up everything in my life. We think that God doesn't love us enough to bless us and look out for us. And that's the truth of the matter. In Proverbs 16:9, it says, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his paths, or his steps, depending upon which rendition you've got there. Now, I need to say it is quite okay to make plans and have goals and make decisions in life and move forward, but always, always seek God in what is going on in your life, always. One man that I know said this, I don't usually make plans for anything, because if the word premeditated gets thrown into the courtroom later on, I could be in trouble. We can have our plans, we can have our ideas, but God is the one that truly determines what our course is going to be. He holds the trump cards on everything. life can go about perfectly, as we say, just like Rose's brother here, and bam, all of a sudden you get sick. Is that part of God's plan? I think so, but you just got to keep seeking after him. Rose's brother is a great witness and a testimony for God, and he's going to come out of this giving glory to God. I know that for a fact. In James chapter 4, 13 through 17, here's what it says there. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or do that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Now with that, I believe that God says, basically, don't be kicking down any doors, forcing anything open that is not of me. And sometimes you can figure out real quick what God's plans are for you. One man that I went on a missionary trip one time with, a great missionary guy. He's seen a lot of dead raised down in Mexico and across the Central America. By the man of David Hogan. I was with him on a missionary trip one time. He's got a lot of ministries out there. And done a lot of things for God. I asked him one time, how do you know what the will of God is, you know? And to do certain things. And he says, basically, I find it's easier for God to say no to me than it is for him to say me, hear me, have me hear him say yes to something. So we can figure it out one way or another what God's plan is for us. Sometimes we try to make things happen and it's not in line with God's will for us and God's plan or what he's got for us at the time. Like I said, it's important just to consult him in all things and have his direction to lead us in decision making. And I'm relearning that again, what his plan is for me and how I can submit to that, because it works out good for me and my life. And if I'm able to release these different things of where I want to go, then I will have the joy and the peace of the Lord. And if I'm not, I'm struggling, straddling that fence, so to speak. I'm going to get a sore, whatever. Releasing by that, I mean, I can truly give up my plans for God, letting them go, allowing God to take me by the hand, so to speak, lead me and guide me in all the areas that I want to go. And that does require me to basically scrap my own plans. Plans are good. I'm not knocking these all. I'm just talking about me. And for you, figure out what those plans are in God. But it will require, like I said, a total surrender, total trust, and then total obedience to him. There are three things that you got to believe along this whole line. If you're taking notes, here's one of those three things. First, God is almighty. He loves me and you intensely and immensely above everything else. He's much wiser than you and I put together. We have to learn his will and his plans for situations and decisions in our lives, and then go with that. Make our plans based on his plans. How do we do that? For everybody, it's different. Tell you that right now. But it doesn't matter if it's big or small. Whatever's in our life, in making those right ones, make the right decisions, God's going to be there for us. Now, in coming across this whole sermon, if you want to put it that way, I talk about, well, where does destiny play into this? You know, how does that work into all this? Because God is, you know, we've read the scriptures about predestination and all this kind of stuff, and where God is basically in control of everything, and I agree with that, okay? But how does that all play in? There was a man one time who was just going through life as normal, and one day the angel of death shows up on his doorstep. And he goes, my friend, today is your day. Death is knocking on his door. And the guy responds, hey, I'm not ready yet. Not ready at all. The death angel says, well, your name is at the top of the list right here. And the guy says, well, you know, I got a plan here. So he says, you know, would you like to have dinner with me sit down and talk about this for a while or whatever it takes? And the death angel says, sure, not a problem. So he sits down to eat with this guy. And this guy throws in some sleeping pills with the food and then gives it to the death angel, and the death angel falls asleep like everybody else would normally do. And this guy, he takes and scratches his name out of the top of the list and puts it on the bottom of the list. And pretty soon the death angel wakes up after a while and he says, you know, thanks for having dinner with me and stuff like that, and I really appreciate you being nice to me. Today I'm going to make a change of plans, and I'm going to start at the bottom of the list and go to the top. Yep. Whatever his destiny was, whatever he did, wasn't about to change it, was it? Sometimes that is with our life too, you know. What is destiny according to the Bible? Destiny is God's purpose for your life. Okay? It's your appointed and ordained future and possibly your way of life. Okay? But it's everything written down. God's got it all planned out. Destiny is what God has predetermined to you to be and to become in his divine will. Your destiny. It's not about dreaming up the biggest dream that you can dream for God, although it can be. Your destiny comes as you discover what God has already shaped you to be and what who you are and what you are about to do. You don't invent your destiny, you discover it, okay? Your destiny will be your unique and your ultimate contribution to the plan of God. It can and will be bigger than you think it is. It will engage your passions. It will intersect every area of your life. It will rise up from God's values that he builds into your life. It will be grounded on biblical foundation. It will be integrated with God's ultimate purposes. Now, I say all that because you can be a mother, a father, a mechanic, a road worker, anything like that. You can be a doctor, a lawyer, even the president of the United States. And whatever your destiny is, God has shaped that. You know, I think back of, there's been some great people, there's been some, if you want to think of it, smaller people. It doesn't matter what it is and what you do. Your destiny is not involved in what your occupation is, okay? Because I know some great people who have won some people to the Lord that you will never, ever know about. There's other people like Billy Graham that have won millions to the Lord, and he's got a great ministry and all well-known. You know, presidents, there's been a few presidents that have come in at crucial times in the history of the United States that have brought hope and encouragement and future to the generations that were going to come. One was Abraham Lincoln, another was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, you know. Now, there was Ronald Reagan. Two of those guys are Christians, you know. Abraham Lincoln and Ronald Reagan. Franklin Delano Roosevelt wasn't, but at the time when they came into office, they took a stand. And they could see our country needs help here, and it needs a hope, and it needs a future. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he came about and he started the works projects that you see done at all the different parks across the way. There's many written accounts of people that have wrote him back and said, thank you for saving my life by bringing some of these things about. Same thing with President Abraham Lincoln and President Reagan. Great people. For us as Christians, there's a three parts to our destiny, okay? But you don't have to be a Christian in order to bring hope and encouragement to a person, okay? But for us as a Christian, there's three parts in our destiny. The first part is we have to enter into the kingdom of God ourselves. And most of us here, I'm taking for granted that we have done that. In 1 Timothy 2:4, here's what it says. God, our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come into a knowledge of his truth. God desires you to be his child. Now, we have a choice in this, just like we have a choice in whether we want to accept or reject his will and his plans for us. That thing called free will, God will not override that at all, ever. And sometimes that causes us, myself and you included, to miss what God has got for us. Because we're making our plans, we reject it entirely, however you want to put it. Reject his salvation plan. But that first one is coming into the knowledge of truth with Jesus Christ, becoming a part of God's kingdom. The second part, No matter where you're at, you are called to some type of ministry, helping and serving others, witnessing for Christ. Okay? That's fulfilling the works that God has talked about and he's assigned us to do. Like I said, somehow, some way. You can be a mother, still out there being, bringing destiny to different people. You can be the president, do the same thing. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are good, God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." He's already set us a course and he knows what we're going to do. However we witness for Christ, it doesn't matter, big or small. It doesn't matter to God. He just wants us to do it. In John 14, it says this, "I tell you the truth." These are the words of Christ. "Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father." We, you and I, are the carriers of his glory. Period. The third part of our destiny concerns the future. It deals with the eternal life and eternal rewards. And how do I know that? Here's what Paul said in 1 Timothy 1, verse 16. "But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." Just like that song said, redeemed. That's what Paul's talking about right here. The worst of sinners now proclaiming what God has done in his life. I've discovered this, our single purpose, my single purpose, since I came to the Lord back when I was a rebellious teenager. My single purpose after that, when I crossed that line and became a Christian, is to bring praise and glory to Jesus Christ somehow, some way, whether it be on a job site. Now, I'm a pastor, and I do that in this composition, too, but I'm also working as a park ranger at a state park. There I have limitations of what I can present as far as what my beliefs are, but I do it. And careful, but I do it. That's what it's all about, just bringing praise and glory, somehow witnessing and testifying what Christ is all about and what he's done for us. That's what Paul is saying in that whole scripture. And no person's destiny, whether big or small, is measured by his works, whether it be great, his achievements, the exploits, his special accomplishments. It doesn't matter. No one's ultimate destiny is to build successful businesses, ministries, institutions, churches, whatever it would be. It can be that and be incorporated in that, but just basically he wants you to give praise and glory to him, period. I don't know if any of you are familiar with David Wilkerson, but he's a man that I greatly admire. One of his books was what brought me to the Lord way back in high school. He started out just as a country preacher in Pennsylvania, was an Assemblies of God minister. While he was preaching there in the backwoods of Pennsylvania, he read an article in Time magazine back in 1959 about some youth who were on charge, who were on in the court system for charges of murder. They were members of a gang there in New York City, just like they got the Crips and all this kind of stuff now. They had them back then, too. And he read that article, and God put a passion on him, and he says, "I want you to go to New York City, country bumpkin preacher." But he was obedient, followed Christ all the way to the city of New York. He started a church there in Times Square after doing some different things there, right in the middle of Times Square, because this is where the people are living, and he grew his ministry from there. During all that time, he started a drug rehab center that grew and is now registered and recognized in every state in the United States, and it is the biggest, most respected rehab center in the United States. It is called Teen Challenge. Many of us, and I myself, would have probably been there if it hadn't been for Christ. But he started that. The book that I'm talking about that he wrote, it became a pretty good seller. It was given out freely to people in high school, and I was one of those. About the story of what was going on in his church there in Times Square. It's called The Cross and the Switchblade. About how one of these young men that was a gang member got one to the Lord. And how he went on to give praise and glory to God also. like I said, and that book is called The Cross and the Switchblade. David Wilkerson's ministry grew, and it is still growing out there. He was killed in a car crash 2 years ago. And it was a sad day for a lot of people in the kingdom, myself being one of them. He was in an interview one time, David Wilkerson was, and responded to his success and his destiny about this, because they asked him to point right up front. And he says, my destiny has little to do with the things God has allowed me to do. My destiny has always been to reach lost souls and bring them into the fullness of Jesus Christ to the praise and glory of God. My destiny was also to walk as an adopted child of God, living before the world blameless, all to the praise and glory of God. So these ministries that are simply burdens of the Lord, he said, that God has allowed me to share and undertake while walking out my destiny and doing his perfect will. He knew what his destiny was right up front, probably before he was a third or fourth generation preacher. He knew what his destination was. I'm working for the kingdom. Regardless of how I work for a living, I'm working for the kingdom. David said, I believe he has blessed these ministries because I have lived out my destiny. He took a lot of gambles. If you really go into in-depth thing, you'll see how many times he was embarrassed by taking his stands, and God used it. The embarrassing moments, being on television, being ridiculed on television. But it opened doors with those gang members that people will never, ever know. That's why I'm saying you never know how big or how small an impact you're going to have. Because what he thought was an embarrassment, God used for mighty things within that environment. It's the eternal things that matter. David Wilkerson said this, someday not a single building that our ministry has built will be standing. The incorporated institutions, the Bible schools, the rehab houses, they will all decay and be gone. And they're going to vanish. So when I stand on Judgment Day, I won't be able to take any of those things with me. What matters is what is eternal. Three things that are eternal that I've discovered. God, of course, is number one. Second is his word. The Bible promises his word will never pass away, ever. Third thing that is eternal, you're in my souls and everybody's souls that are out there. The Bible says there's also three things that abide. In other words, they last forever too. What are they? Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. David Wilkerson, he realized what the most important thing in the world was down through history. That was sharing the plan of God, which is salvation in Jesus Christ for the redemption of sin. And through that whole big plan, God gives faith, hope, and love. Like I said, those presidents that I talked to about, they also gave that faith, hope, and love. There's a future. It's not going to end. God's got a plan. That's his main plan. Salvation to people. And within that plan, whether it be a housewife or, like I said, a mechanic, president, that whole big scenario is wide open. Bill Johnson out in Reading, some students of his asked him, well, how do I know what the will of God is? He says, pick something and then live it to the glory and praise of God. Doesn't matter what you do. Pick something. That's all you got to do. Doesn't matter. God does have plans for me and you. It could be big, could be small. Don't know. You're never going to know what God's plans are, his destiny for you. How do we find that? Scripture says you knock, seek, and you find. You consult him. You pray, always pray. When you pray, he's going to listen. When you seek him, you will find him and he will find you. The next couple of verses, just after Jeremiah 29 and 12 and 13, it says this. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. Then in response, we have to listen and we have to obey. know, I got to say, in this whole thing about plans and stuff like that and trying to figure out God's will for my life and for yours and the plans and all of this, I'm familiar with the times where my prayers did not get answered. I had some great plans and wanted to do some great things. They never got answered. Sometimes that big prosperity issue as far as money has not been on my doorstep ever. But my soul continues to prosper. That unanswered prayer dilemma, we've all come up against those hard reality times, like I said, when the prayers just don't seem to get answered. You're figuring out, like I said at the beginning, God, what is your plan here? It does get discouraging. But like I said earlier, those discouraging thoughts are from the devil to keep you from Jesus Christ and his plan for you. I know from my own experience, and you've probably done it too, there are those times where I just can't even really pray. Not able to seek God. Can't even get in and read my Bible. Can't focus my thoughts on God at all because there's too many things coming at me. And this I'm saying because I'm a pastor. I'm a regular guy too. And I wrestle with these things just like you and I. Where is God? In those moments when I can't do anything, you can't do anything, that rest and that trust in the loving God and his purposes for my life is what keeps me headed down the path. God just wants us to keep on seeking him for us personally. And he may take you a step farther, put you in a pulpit maybe, get you out in the public limelight. It doesn't matter, just as long as we're still seeking him. And I've learned to accept those times of waiting, those limitations. They're hedges of protection of God for me. Those seasons and those reasons that I'm trying to wander through is God's roadway of perfect timing and planning for me. I alluded to this a little bit earlier, but God's plan for me and for you, it's not like when you go to the store in Target or Walmart or anything, one size fits all. It doesn't work that way at all. Is customized just for each one of you. And age does not have any matter at all. At all. I'm telling you that now too. I do know this, that our worship habits, our personal devotion, my prayer life, your prayer life, our intimate relationship with Jesus and God are the keys of importance in discovering what God's plans are and our destinies. I know that direction, getting back to prayer, direction is given in prayer. The battles in the spirit are won in prayer. Sin in my life and in yours is conquered in prayer. Discouragement gets defeated in prayer. Myself, this self guy, gets abased in prayer. And revelation comes, God gets exalted. God wants us to grow in love and knowledge of him, just like the scripture said earlier. It doesn't matter how successful I am, how successful you are in whatever avenues of life you're in. I've discovered this, that I am missing the greatest part of my destiny if I am not becoming more and more like Jesus every day, every year. That's my goal, and to share that love of Christ with others somehow, some way. Be it big or small. So like I said earlier in choices, I have a choice to step up into it or not. And God is not the one to put guilt on any of us. I know that God is working on his plans for you for this very moment. He's working on his plans for me this very moment. I don't know what's around the corner, but I'm happy to be where I'm at, knowing God is in complete control. He does have a wonderful plan for my life. His plans are not to harm me, but to prosper me and show me good. He may not reveal those to me all at once. He may not reveal them to me at all. And I might get frustrated with that, but that's the way it is. He just calls me to be faithful and obedient and to walk the path and put where I'm planted. I know that our days are always, our best days are always ahead with God. And he does have the best plan. I got some excerpts here from Psalm 139. Listen to this. I'm skipping around here in that whole scripture. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, and you understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path. Holy cow, he's scrutinizing my path. I'm under the limelight. I don't know how I can handle it. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. He knows me inside and out. How I'm going to argue with him and how I'm not going to argue. What will I give into, what I won't give into. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, you know it, Lord. You've enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? We have one audience out there, and that is God the Father. That's who we're living for. For you have formed my inward parts, it goes on to say. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, even in this big overweight body. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made is pretty cool. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well, the scripture says. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all the written days that were ordained for me. He knows them from beginning to end, like I said earlier. When yet there was none that were written, not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, you're still with me, God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. When I'm wrestling with all these things, that's what it's talking about. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me into the everlasting way. Everlasting being the things that are eternal. In other words, he's praying, keep those, help me to keep those in the forefront of my vision. Ephesians 3 says this, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us, God is able. We all read this one before, Romans 8, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? In 1 Thessalonians says this, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. He will do it. So some questions I ask myself sometimes is, are you fulfilling your destiny? Looking in the mirror, are you fulfilling your destiny? Are you finding God's plans for you? Are you, Jim Kearns, what I'm looking at, are you becoming more like Jesus every year, more than you were last year? Are you becoming sweeter, more aromatic to the people that are around you, more loving and more considerate to your family and others and that you're working with? I'm trying, let me put it that way. I'm trying. That's my goal, and I'm going for it. How's my marriage doing? It's growing, yes. Does it struggle sometimes? Absolutely. Two people together, you know. Do my children, do they see me as a tender, kind, yet firm man, or as a grouch or a grinch? Sometimes I waffle back and forth there, you know. Do the people who know me see the love of Christ in me? I can only hope so, because sometimes I fall down in that area too. So a quick summation. If you want these, write them down. Here they are. The realities of God's plans are this. God's plans are different than our plans. God's plans are declared plans for you and for I, for me. It's written in his word also. His plans are distinct for you and for me, whatever it would be. The requirements of God's plans are this. He requires surrender. He requires submission. He requires steadfastness, like I said. Stick to the plan, kind of like on Star Wars. Stay on target. Stay on target. If the guy's going for that thing, you know. That's what God wants for us. Be faithful where we're at. The results of God's plan are this. If you're walking in God's plans, his enemies are going to be vanquished. His people are going to be victorious. And his name will be venerated. In other words, it's going to be admired. It's going to be revered, respected. It's going to be held sacred. And he will be exalted. And you never know what the plans are that God has for you. Like I said, you don't know what's around the corner. You just got to keep going and trusting in God. Can God change your life? Will you allow him to do that? Redirect you, reroute you, get you on plans with his plan, get you on board with his plans, get into some safe and secure things with his almighty hand. Most of us say yes, but when it comes down to it, I don't know if I like this plan kind of deal. But I do know this, if you have eyes to see beyond our own world, beyond our own problems, beyond our own position, and look up to what God has got to offer, we'll see his hand at work, and we'll understand and know exactly what his magnificent plan is. So at this stage, I just need to remind you and remind me there's two things out there. There is a God, and we're not him, as much as we try to be. Bottom line, God is faithful. He knows what he's doing. He keeps his promises, and we can trust in him, regardless of the outcome, even when things look so bleak. John and I were talking this morning a little bit. He was sharing some things. Even if the government looks corrupt, God's still got it all in his plan. He's leading us down the path to righteousness and redemption for some people, some way, somehow. I'm just trusting in him. So put your hand over your heart, if you will. Okay? All of us do this. You feel that? That beating right there? You're alive. You're breathing. I can see that you're out there breathing still. You're alive for a reason and for a purpose. And that's what that purpose is for God's plan. So don't give up. Discover what your destiny is and your purpose and find God's plan for your life, regardless of what your position is and what you're doing in life. Because it can incorporate anything, whatever you're doing. So I thank you for listening to me this morning. I hope that I impacted you some way, somehow. Father God, I just thank you for sending your son, Lord, to give us a hope and to give us a future, just like Jeremiah promised. Thank you for your great promises, God. Thank you for your plans for your children, and they are always good. Thank you for listening to us when we pray. Help us, Father God, as we seek to know your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.